by your Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance agent, Sam Stoya, and also by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
As life expectancies grow in the U.S., the potential need for long-term care grows as well. A Northwestern Long-Term Care Insurance Company policy can help you pay for that care. Flexible coverage can include extended care in your own home as well as in a facility. To learn more, call Sam Stoya at 336-5717. That's Sam Stoya at 336-5717. Sam Stoya is licensed to sell long-term care insurance for the Northwestern Long-Term Care Insurance Company, a subsidiary of the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, regarding policy form number RSLTC1101.
AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1, spending a little bit of time this morning with candidate for State House District 11, Martin Garber. And Martin, you announced your candidacy fairly early in the spring. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, Charlie. I announced about a year ago.
I've been running
since then. Do what you do, going to meetings, shaking hands, and being involved in the issues, especially learning what you have to do if you are elected.
And that's partly just talking with constituents, potential constituents. I understand you were talking with law enforcement down in the southern part of the district last night.
I was. Collinsville and people invited me to have a meeting with them last night. There was about 20 police officers, and we had a good discussion about some of their issues.
Well, we think of Washington County as being the primary focus of your district. You do live here, but yeah, it extends into that Collinsville area, and more so, it's a wider net than I think some people realize.
This district goes from Bartlesville clear down Highway 75 to 116th Street in Tulsa County, and then it goes to the east, clear over into Rogers County.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is a fairly lot of miles to be covered, and that means a lot of people.
Before we really get into the questions, Charlie, I had breakfast this morning with a constituent, and that was Earl Sears. And he and I were talking about the budget problems for next year, and he wanted me to make sure to tell your listeners hello for him.
Thank you very much. Always happy to talk with the current state representative, and when he is no longer, I'll still welcome him anytime he wants to come on.
Well, he's a good man.
He is, and he has given, he's given the district good service.
Yeah, he sure has for 12 years, and he's one of the most knowledgeable people in the state on state budgets.
Well, and he's recognized leader, everybody from Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb and many of the officials that I have talked to at this campaign will compliment the work that Mr. Sears has done for the area. And I'm sure he has, Senator Daniels has complimented him as a resource, and obviously you're learning from him as well.
Yeah, that's what you do as a candidate. You learn about the issues.
And let's just, since you were talking budget, the budget's defined so many other priorities for the state. And thoughts on the budget and the budget process? He probably has made some recommendations for you at least to consider when it comes to the budget.
Well, he's hopeful that the new budget is going to be better. He says it's going to be tight, but obviously what they did this last session addressing some of the teacher issues and the state employee issues will help going forward. Charlie, there's something there that I wanted to pass on that really it has goes back to the basis of why I'm running.
Okay.
Most people know I just got mad. It was time for me to step up and do stuff. I've been involved in government for a long time, for 25 years with Phillips Petroleum Company. Mm-hmm. I was manager of government relations, both at the federal level and the state level, not only here in Oklahoma, but all over. But 4 years ago, I went out of my way to talk to Governor Fallon. I was concerned at that time how the price of oil was $120 a barrel, and I cautioned her. She was here in town at John Ford's house, and I sat down with her, and I said, "Governor, I'm concerned. We're cutting all these taxes, and we're giving all these incentives, and with oil $120 a barrel, I've been in the industry a long time, and it can be $30 in a year." Well, I'm sorry to say it was, and as a result, there was 25,000 people involved with the oil industry that got laid off, and the economy went south. To her defense, she was counting on that $500 million in the rainy day fund, and She thought that would be enough. Well, it wasn't. Obviously, they had to cut another $1.5 billion. And that's what where our economy is today. So, you know, we're still digging out from underneath those bad decisions over the last 4 years as to what has happened and what will happen in the future. It's not a very pretty sight when you have to cut budgets 45% on some state agencies. You have to cut schools 25 to 30%. I was a regent at Tulsa Community College for 27 years, and so I know what the impact was. We had two layoffs. We had early retirements. We had to cut down and tell kids they couldn't go to school or get their degree on time. And it's not a very pretty sight what we've been through the last 4 years.
Well, I know Gary Quinn told me year in and year out, and I'm sure Tulsa Community College and every other institution in the state is very similar. On average, Bartlesville Schools expenses 90% of it was payroll. And when you're looking at cutting dollars, that's where it has to come from.
Well, it sure is. I get mad with people that these politicians running for office and saying, well, we'll just have to reorganize. We need to have to reorganize school systems. Well, they tend to forget, like here in Bartlesville, we've had 22% less employees today than we had 4 years ago. Not only 22%, we're down $2 million in budgets here in the Bartlesville school system. And you can't tell me that there is not a large degree of reorganization associated with those changes. Those are massive cuts, 22% less people and $2 million less budget. That creates real havoc in anybody's budget.
Well, it does, and certainly a lot of what has been in the news over the past 6 months or more this school year has been a result of exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, there's no question about it. They've had to make tough decisions, and they're smaller. And I saw the same thing within Phillips. Every 3 or 4 years, we'd have downsizing, but we grew out of it and are stronger in the end. And I'm hopeful our state is that way, too, because there was some cuts there, like in mental health and the health department and areas that are very difficult on people, living people out there that have to live every day based upon their health condition and what's happening in their life.
Well, there are certain jobs that we call the core functions of government, essential functions of government. And when it comes to state government, if they're essential, then they should be funded.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, most of the people know I'm running on the basis we need to grow Oklahoma. I've served on our Bartlesville Development Authority, which is responsible for attracting new business, helping our companies here grow, attracting new retail. And I've been there for 5 or 6 years, and I'm closely associated with what the companies that look at Bartlesville want. And we see it day in and day out. We're talking to people all across the United States and even international because, as you know, we've got two or three large employers here that have foreign ownership.
Sure.
And it's tough to attract new business to Bartlesville. We have a great school system. We have a great health system here. But they say, well, what about Oklahoma? You know, as a state, you're behind. Well, yes, and we need to do a better job at the state level supporting our education system statewide and our health system statewide.
One of the candidates for lieutenant governor last night at the forum brought up basically what you're talking about. He referred to the governor of Arkansas as always talking about STEM programs that are there. And apparently, at least that particular candidate thought that governor was doing a better job than what ours has.
Well, I'm not going to talk against Mary Fallon. I know her very well. She's just had a tough term, especially the last 4 years because of the price of oil. Price of oil is coming back. You're starting to see more drilling. You're starting to see the service industry coming back, and that's given our state a bump. But what we need to do is, if we have some growth money, The first thing needs to be is pay back some of those funds that they've had to take away, like the road funds and some of the others. And then we need to start looking, how do we grow Oklahoma? We need to have a plan, and it has to come from the governor's office to all the both branches of the legislature, and the business community has to come forward and say, hey, if we do these type things, A, B, C, D, our state will grow. And we need to work as a team to grow Oklahoma. It's got to be a priority. And we just haven't had a priority in that area the last 4 years.
The legislature then has to have set its priorities. And I guess I keep coming back to the budget, but that is so important. So that, for instance, the Department of Commerce has the dollars to market tourism, to market businesses coming to the state of Oklahoma.
Absolutely. You've got to reach out to them. Just like here in Bartlesville, we've got a program going right now. It's an internet program. It's a low-cost program. But we are approaching people in California and Texas and areas that we know that have difficulty in the past and currently. In California right now, they're trying to tax businesses out of the state. And in Texas, after the flood, people are looking at, where do I want to go? And so we are trying to reach out here in Bartlesville and talk to people about the benefits of moving a business to Bartlesville.
Mm-hmm. And we will hopefully see the fruit of that.
Sure.
For that effort.
Yeah.
At some point in time, and hopefully fairly soon. I'm sure economic development people don't like to always disclose things until they've got a contract signed, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Well, plus, we've got a lot of things going already. You look what we've done the last 3 or 4 years. You know, we our friends at ABB have doubled the size of their office there and their manufacturing facilities, and those are good paying jobs with an average of $75,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And things like that just don't happen. You've got to plan it. You have to work it. And there's a whole host of things we're working on right now. We can't necessarily talk to public about it, but people are working on it, I can assure you.
That's great. We're talking with candidate for State House District 11, Martin Garber, and we will continue on 1400 K1 coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Again, talking with candidate for State House District 11, Martin Garber, and we will remind you again, the election coming up just a little bit over a month, June 26th, and if necessary, a runoff in August. And of course, we won't have to worry about that when your race, but for other offices, it could happen. Martin, one of the things I know you've been fairly active with, you mentioned your work with Tulsa Community College, but even locally with Bartlesville Promise and a few other things, you've been active in education issues.
I sure have, Charlie. It almost goes back a decade, but first issue I got involved with, Phillips Management was very concerned about when Jane Phillips School went on that risk level, mm-hmm. and they asked me to get involved in that. We got a team together and raised some money and spent a lot of time getting volunteers to read to kids, and I saw what some of the parts of town that you wouldn't normally think about, what we had to do to get that school back on track. The next thing I worked on was after the problems that the school board had of the overspending, we had a team that went in and completely reviewed the aspects of their accounting systems and gave them some good suggestions. Here recently, Well, at the state level, we tried to help Frank Keating, Governor Keating, with his 4x4 program, mm-hmm. And the Phillips management took lead, and obviously I worked on that. But locally here recently, a bunch of us business leaders were concerned about the graduation rate going from 93% down into the 80s. So we started an organization called Bartlesville Education Promise, which raises private money to help our schools. And the schools told us what they thought would help on graduation, which we are doing. We today tutor in all nine public schools in Bartlesville after school, and reading at the elementary schools, and at the mid-highs we do math and English, and at the high school we do math, English, and science. We tutor 3 and 4 days a week, and then give the kids that want tutoring a ride home. And then in the summer we have a whole host of summer programs, including an aggressive STEM camp out at Tri-County Tech. We have some transition classes to have the fifth grade and the eighth graders learn about their new schools and what it's going to take to do well in school. And then obviously we have a very aggressive art and science camp associated with the Boys and Girls Club. Last year we had close to 2,800 students involved in one aspect of our program or another. We hired 72 teachers. Wow. For after-school and summer programs. Those are high school teachers that or elementary, from elementary to high school teachers, where we gave them summer jobs to help our students. I can't say enough about the teachers and the work they've done in the summer. We're gearing up right now for this summer, and kind of excited about it. And it's going to be even bigger and better because we've added some new programs, mm-hmm. this year. This year we've added an aggressive reading program in the summer, where we've got three or four partners, the YMCA, the library, the Boys and Girls Club, and coupled with the summer school programs, we've hired two or three teachers to go into those organizations and have a reading program. Our goal is to have over 500 kids reading books this summer. Plus we've doubled the size of our STEM camp, not only that, we're helping the Boys and Girls Club with their education program. They have over 400 kids, elementary kids, every summer, and we're providing funds for their people where they're going out and hiring college-level kids to teach those kids 4 or 5 days a week in the afternoons.
So you're giving those college students some experience.
Yes.
With a real-world mission.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, of course, with the funding with a local nonprofit, really your dollars are stretching pretty well.
Oh, they are. Any donation to Bartlesville Education Promise is a tax-deductible donation, and we wouldn't be here without the support of the Bartlesville community. We get a lot of financial support, and we truly appreciate it.
You mentioned the budget issues over the last several years, and you referenced roads and bridges, too. Infrastructure in general, but I think particularly roads and bridges, something that, because of a lack of dollars, hasn't gotten the maintenance that it probably needed, right?
Well, yeah. The Highway Department has an 8-year plan, and they've got to be able to look at funds far enough in advance to know how to spend those. And as a result, the legislature the last 2 years have had to take funds away from those programs, a tune of about $200 million. And obviously you take $200 million away from a plan, it's going to impact the plan. That's some of the work that needs to be done in the budget to recoup some of those monies and give it back to the highway department so they can get back on track on their 8-year program. I just drove to Oklahoma City the other day to make a presentation to the state chamber about my campaign, and I went on Highway 60 because the turnpike is so messed up right now because of all the work they're doing on it. But I'm always amazed you drive from here to Pawhuska. The great job the highway department did on that road out there. It's a beautiful road. Of course, now they're working on Highway 60 to Nowata. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest project in the States has got to be the turnpike between Tulsa and Oklahoma City. It's a giant construction project.
Yeah, one of the candidates was just a few minutes late arriving last night at the Lieutenant Governor Forum because of the one-lane roads that that he was driving. So
it's so bad, my wife doesn't even like to drive there. Karen says it's dangerous, so we go Highway 60 to 35 and south.
Well, you get to see a different part,
part of Oklahoma.
Yeah. And of course, that kind of looks me when we look at the scenery, and you mentioned 60, which of course is Pawhuska. Pawhuska is doing a great job on tourism right now.
They are.
Tourism certainly a part of the state, and even as a legislator, dollars need to be allocated for those things too.
Well, it sure does. I served on the Tourism Commission. Governor Bellman appointed me to tourism, It was really interesting. Tourism is one of the largest employers in the state of Oklahoma. We've got such a great state as far as the diversity. In the 3 years I served on tourism, my wife and I and my family went to all the state parks. At that time, there were 68 state parks.
That's a lot.
And all over the state, we'd go on weekends and visit and ride the horses and take the boats and do whatever was at that specific park. And many of the park managers would say, "Mr. Garber, you know, you're the first commissioner that's ever come here." And, you know, if you're involved in your state employee and you're on a commission for the state of Oklahoma, I think it's their job to go out and visit and see what really you're overseeing and managing. So that's what I'd do.
Okay, well, it's something else that needs to be done as far as just like being involved, I guess. If you were the first commissioner that was in that park, that I don't know if that says about the rest of them, but it says something about you.
Well, thank you. But it's just something that I felt strong about, you had to go out and see what you were managing. And that's my type. I'm a fiscal conservative, but I'm a hands-on person to the point. If you don't really get involved and know the people, know what you're responsible for, I don't see how you can't... you got to do your job that way.
Well, okay. So does that say something about the type of job that you intend to do as a representative, as far as either asking questions during a hearing or bringing in just, you know, people who are involved in that particular function of government?
You sure do. Well, the committee work at the state legislature forces you to do that, and I would hope. You know, never know what committee you're going to be on, but that's my type of work. You've got to go visit. You've got to be involved. You've got to know where they're going. You understand the law and what they're responsible for, but how the people themselves are doing their job. And you've got to be involved firsthand and make sure that the public feels good about the service that is being provided them.
Yeah, just asking the right questions to do the due diligence to make sure that the taxpayer's interest is being served.
There's no question about that. We have a big state, 77 counties, and it's a very diverse state, and from the far west to the southeast and up here, you know, there's a lot of diversity, and you've just got to know how your policies are going to impact everybody.
Well, I was handed a note, and it's absolutely nothing to do with the campaign, but I understand there's a birthday going on at your house today.
There is. Today is my wife's birthday, Karen's birthday, May 15th. So right after this, I've got to go buy her some flowers and make sure I get home with the birthday present, which is in my car.
Okay, well, I won't tell her that there's even one in your car, whether she's listening. I guess it cast out of the bag anyway.
Yeah.
But birthdays are always an important thing.
Well, in my house, they sure are.
Yeah.
So I wish you a happy birthday. Hey, Karen, from the radio station.
Absolutely. Happy birthday. Again, former Bartlesville School Board member. So
yep.
Your family has been involved in education all the way around.
We have been. And I think it goes back when my grandfather and great-grandfather made the run in 1893 into Oklahoma. They came from Iowa, basically. But both my great-grandfather and grandfather were educated. They were both lawyers. And I think it it's been ingrained in the family, education. And you've just got to understand how important that is to the Garber family.
Well, let's talk about information on your campaign a little bit. I know you're out there with a website, and people can find out more about Martin Garber.
Yeah, just martingarber.com. There's a Facebook page connected to it. We try to put up where we're, what we're doing, where we're going. We're out knocking doors now. We're having functions. We're having function for our donors. We're having function for possible voters. One thing that'll be kind of fun, Charlie, and I invite everybody to it, on Sunday afternoon, June 17th, we're having a good old ice cream social at the new pavilion downtown next to the YMCA. And the invitations are going out here in a week or so. And it says, come have ice cream and meet the candidate. But ice cream will be provided until all the cones are gone.
Sound like a great deal. Martin, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Charlie, so glad. You all do a great job here at the radio station.
Thank you
very much.
That's a Community Connection with Martin Garber. Let's check news from the UNN.
Here on Highway Patrol Troopers Friday in Tallahena remains in the rubble of buildings in downtown Tallahena that caught fire after.